back for hour three. 703-780-3776. Come on in. Let's get to some Texans talk. The Astros lost a couple this weekend. Lost a little bit of ground on Sunday as the Rangers came from behind against the Rays. The Rays, yeah, I'd counted them out. I thought they were dead. And then they won and the Mariners won, so they both picked up. Mariners, I'm not worried about the Mariners, but, you know.
The Rays put up a six spot in the fourth, I think.
I thought it was done. It was like 6-1, yeah. 5-1.
And
it
came back and won.
And
showed heart.
The Astros
could have buried them this past weekend. Could have buried them with two wins. But instead, it's a race and still alive, but virtually a three-game lead because you got the tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But you want to catch the White Sox. You absolutely want to catch the White Sox and get that bye. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal to let's go. Let's not mess around, fool around and find out, okay? That's not what we need here. Right now, the White Sox are 75-68. The Astros are 73-71. So, 2.5 game lead. The White Sox have a 2.5 game lead, but the Astros have the tiebreaker against them. And in the meantime, the Rangers 71-73 are two games back. I saw an article. Chandler Rome wrote an article. This is where you need Jordan to make his statement for the MVP.
Yeah, he finally hit another home run. Man, yeah. Golly, has that been a struggle getting him to hit with power again?
But you listen, he does need to step. If he steps up and is awesome on this stretch, especially when you're playing a high profile team like Philadelphia, who they have Philadelphia and Tampa, I think, and it's two really good teams, and he steps up and the Astros catch the White Sox, or even if they don't catch the White Sox, this is where Jordan needs to shine. This is where Jordan needs to take over. He is still the American League leader in average at 314. He is still tied for the lead with the home runs at 38. And as far as runs batted in, he is still the American League leader with 95.
It's shocking he's hung on to, like, with this lack of power he's shown since late July. It is pretty shocking that he is still in the position he's in to win the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
That normally wouldn't happen. You can't just have a month where you're not the same player and think everyone's going to, especially in three different categories. That's really, really tough. And yet, that's the kind of lead he had.
Yep.
I mean, Jordan still is the favorite for the MVP, and PCA is going to win it for sure in the National League. Do you see they're shutting down Shohei as a pitcher? The Dodgers are. They said no more pitching.
Well, yeah, they need him healthy. They need him hitting. They don't need, you know what, just let's not fool around, okay? We ain't doing that. We ain't fooling around like that. And we need to have Shohei healthy. We need to have Shohei hitting. And we don't need the pitching. I'll tell you what, though, Milwaukee's a good team. Milwaukee is a really good baseball team. I'm not sure all of that money that the Dodgers and the titles going for three in a row. Milwaukee's going to have something to say about it. Of course, they did last. They beat them last year. They crushed in the regular season. The Brewers crushed them. I think beat them 6-0, and then couldn't handle the postseason. But man, Mizurowski, forget about it. That dude, he can go. He can go. 1.97 ERA, leads the league. Most strikeouts, most 100-mile-an-hour pitches. He is something. That dude is really something. So that'd be a lot of fun. Oh, no, he's actually Gavin Williams of Cleveland actually has the most strikeouts. Jacob Mizurowski is tied with Dylan Cease for 227. Williams has 228. I'm going to put my money on Mizurowski having the most strikeouts by the end of the year, though. By the time this is all said and done, he's going to have the most strikeouts. 713-780-3776 is the number. if you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5. You are more than welcome. What a weekend of football. Great start. Even with, I mean, if this is how it's going to be, the last play in the Baylor game, boy, I'll tell you, I feel bad for Jake. I feel bad for Kyle Whittingham. I feel bad for Jake Spavital. I feel bad for anybody who's going to get the kind of quarterback play that those two got. I feel bad for, you know.
You're talking about DJ Lagway.
DJ Lagway was bad.
There's bad? You got empathy for the coach, just not for the players? You picked DJ Lagway. We all know what he is.
You gave him money.
And Jake Spavital's grown man making grown man money. Why do I feel bad for Spavital? You knew what DJ Lagway was.
Bad for him.
Everyone knows who he is.
Look at his humanity now.
I feel bad for him.
Here's his humanity.
No, yeah. Jake's one of his boys. That's why he feels bad for him.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Spavital, you could look at all
Kyle Whittingham doesn't love you. He didn't love either one of you who are trying to put Kyle Whittingham.
My wife feel bad said, for him.
Is this the coach that Dell and John were trying to say is a top five coach? Said, yeah, this is him.
Yeah.
Getting his ass rolled by Western Michigan. Get out of here.
Yeah, don't make us go through Sark's history. If you want to play that game.
You
want to play that game?
Sark bombed out Texas State again.
Congratulations.
Western Michigan took a Hail Mary and a jiggled clock to make that work.
Jiggled?
Yeah.
Watch yourself over there.
We have a special clock. Yes.
How did Sark's trip to Gainesville go last year?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. So if we want to point out bad losses, we could do it.
And Columbus. How'd that go?
Well, at least that's a good football team. Florida stunk, and he got beat by DJ. Did he get beat by DJ Lagway last year?
How about the Mississippi State game?
He got beat because his quarterback was bad for half the game.
How about the Kentucky game?
Did he get beat by the same guy that Jake Spavital's guy, or at least John's guy, Jake Spavital, we should be sad for because of that guy?
Listen, I feel bad.
Is that who Sark got beat by?
I feel bad for Sark.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because of his quarterback.
Okay. Grown man making grown man money.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Lagway is what we always thought he was. At least the last year we thought he was. And Jake's going to get a taste
Lagway,
all year long.
Man, it turns out Lagway and Bryce Underwood are just mortifying the way they play. Although Lagway plays better than Bryce Underwood has shown no flashes. Like, it's horrific. A $10 million player. You know, I was thinking about that. So Bryce had this incredible $10 million NIL, all the hype on him. And it's not fair. So I'm going to mention another name that didn't live up to the hype, but had some success on the collegiate level, and that's Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers was called, I think it was On Three or Rivals. One of them had him the highest graded prospect they ever saw, ever in the history of high school football. He went to Ohio State, notably, to get NIL money early, and then went back to Texas, or went to Texas. Really, we knew it was a cash grab over there behind. Who was he behind at the time? It was behind CJ. And I would say that he ended up getting drafted in the seventh round. I would say that Quinn Ewers was a disappointment relative to being a five-star generational, because they were throwing that at him, too, out of high school. I'd say being a seventh-round NFL pick is a little disappointing. But he had some success in college football. I mean, he had his Longhorn fans beat him up. But I think time is going to be, especially if Arch fails this year, people are going to look back at Quinn Ewers, hopefully, a little differently, say, you know, maybe we were a little hard on Quinn Ewers. Because Longhorn fans couldn't wait for Quinn to be gone. And I get it. You had the hype of Arch. Like, you were really excited. This is a Manning that you had. Everyone was excited for Manning. Like, get Quinn out of here. I know there's going to be Longhorn fans who tweet me and say, I wasn't one of the, but a majority of Longhorn fans. Quinn's agent will be the first one to tell you. These fans are the, you know, have no, you know, he gets real sensitive about Quinn, but he thinks Quinn was treated poorly by some Longhorn fans. And, you know, that's, college football fans are very polarizing on a player. Some of them protect the player at all costs, and some of them are just ready to cut bait with them after one game. But Bryce Underwood from Michigan has to be the most disappointing prospect we've seen in the NIL era, without question. This guy is generically bad. Just throw him a, if he was on Illinois, you'd think he was bad. You have on Michigan with $10 million that's been paid, and the high profile where where Dave Portnoy from Barstool was throwing in a few million dollars to make this happen. This guy's been awful. And he won on a crappy call by the Big Ten officiating, you know, one of the Big Ten officiating crew, whatever it was. I don't know who was the officiating crew, but it was not the officiating crew, but the, you know, who was it that does the instant replay?
The timer? Oh. The instant replay booth? What are you talking about? I don't know.
Yeah. Whoever, I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but they somehow magically got a second, and they beat Western Michigan, and it was awful. Like, it's truly, if you missed it, it was, everyone thought Terry McCauley, who they had on the broadcast there, who's the rules analyst, he came back like, I'm not sure how they're getting a second here. I don't really understand this. Mm-hmm. Like, he was besides himself, and it wasn't until the next day where they said, okay, there's actually a secret clock that nobody knows about.
No, they had to get that out hours after. They put out a statement.
Well, I didn't see it.
And they gave the video to, I guess, Western Michigan. Like, Terry McCauley had some issues with his referee brethren throughout the weekend, because he was the guy they went to on Sunday night, Wisconsin-Notre Dame, and there was a muff kickoff, less important, but a muff kickoff that appeared that the Notre Dame player, it was initially ruled he recovered it because they were kicking off to Wisconsin in bounds, but it was clear that he never had possession until he was out of bounds, and they still gave the ball to Notre Dame. He didn't like that call either.
No. Well, who was on the call for – was it McCauley that was – no.
NBC, for NBC?
NBC. It was somebody different. There was a former ref that was doing the you know, how they have him in the booth.
I thought McCauley is the NBC guy for both. No. Because the Michigan game was on NBC. Well, ABC or ESPN or NBC?
NBC.
Yeah, McCauley, I think they went to him for both
games. Was it?
Yeah, because he...
I thought it was somebody else. But either way, he immediately said, what are they doing?
Yeah, he didn't understand it.
Didn't understand it. I want you to understand something here and now. I want you to understand about Fliff and Fliffing. Are you going to Fliff around and find out? You should. Because download the app, Fliff, Fliff, okay? It's a great place to play, making every game more exciting. You can purchase a team, or you can purchase a player. All right? Why don't you purchase a team, like whatever team it is that you think you like the Cougs, maybe. You can purchase them, or you could purchase your favorite pro football team here. Okay? Play for free every day with Fliff coins and your bonus daily dollar. Or if you want to level up, purchase Fliff coins and receive Fliff cash as a bonus on every purchase. Okay? You can upgrade that. And oh, by the way, when you do Fliff, they got free plays for you. Okay? So you new players can receive up to $250 extra bonus Fliff cash. Okay? You're rooting hard? You could be rooting harder by Fliffing. You will root harder. Put in my promo code John G to get started. Play for free every day with free Fliff coins, or purchase Fliff coins and receive extra bonus Fliff cash on every purchase. Huge daily boosts as well. Download Fliff now and Fliff around and find out. It's Fliff. It's the new way to play. Whatever game, whatever team that you like, you can Fliff around and find out. Must be 18 plus. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Restrictions apply. See terms of use for eligibility or getfliff.com and full promotion rules. Fliff Inc. Fliff around.
Find ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Not only do we have the Texas Ohio State game.
Right.
We got Arizona State coming to Kyle Field.
Okay.
Yeah, as well.
I don't feel good for Arizona State.
No, I don't. Neither does Kenny Dillingham. He's not all that. He's like,
I saw they were one of the last place teams to win the Big 12, like Vegas wise, and I thought Kenny was going to really. This is the thing now. You don't. I heard this on the broadcast. It may have been McAfee who said this. I can't remember who said it. They said, you don't build programs anymore. You just build teams. Yeah. And there's a big difference between building a program and building a team. Because building a program is sustainability.
I would argue that he's built a program.
Yeah, but not really, because D'Angelo Pond came over. Think about his best players. Fernando Mendoza, D'Angelo Pond, Kalon Black. Like, those are the three drafted prospects. They weren't even at Indiana.
Yeah, but
they
still,
they all came over.
Yeah.
Nick Marsh had the catch of the year.
He set a tone, and you...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think you build a program on culture, but you don't... No. But meaning you don't recruit, and it's not a 3-year,
how many guys are back?
Process.
How many guys are back? I know you're replacing the quarterback, obviously, and you had to replace a lot of guys because they went to the
guy who made Nick Marsh made the catch of the year so far after 2 weeks for Indiana. He came from Michigan State.
Yeah,
like you had. I don't know where Omar Cooper, if he came from. I think he was Indiana. I can't remember if he was Indiana the whole time. But Elijah Surratt wasn't Indiana. He came from he came from one school to James Madison. Like, he leveled up two different times before going.
Well,
to
he also took a lot of guys from James Madison.
But that point was, yeah, and they were his guys. But the point is that it's not about, okay, we're going to recruit these guys and we're going to bring them up and build them up. And when it's their time, they will shine. And that's just not how it is anymore. You have to build your team on an annual basis. There's a new rebuild. And that's the reality for basically everyone except the highest level teams. But even then, Texas is adding Cam Coleman. Texas added the Longhorns, added a couple different new offensive linemen from the portal. Like,
everybody is.
It's basically we missed on that recruit, so we're going to go buy that guy.
If you're good enough, you've got your guys in place, like Arch. And, you know, Wingo, or, you know, you got some guys in place that are your foundation, and you add guys.
Yeah.
And you add guys with the portal.
But like,
now, other schools are like, North Carolina has, what, 70 new players?
Well, that's, you know, yeah. But that, it's
and
their
they're partying
so
with
bad.
Them, and they're having
but most
sex
schools
with
now,
them. It's great.
What I'm finding now is that most schools are, you know, it was KC Concepcion, Craver last year. Those two wide receivers for A&M, they were both guys that, you know, Reuben Bain was a full-time guy, but then who's your other pass rusher?
Oh.
I'm saying for Miami. Who was the other pass rusher?
Mezidor, but he was there through two different coaching staffs. He had been there for like 4 years.
Has he been there that long from West Virginia?
He'd been there a little while.
He'd been there, not 4 years. Okay, well, that kind of counts.
He's been there
to me
a while.
If you were there
he got
for
there
3 years.
He got there before.
But it's just the reality that look at Miami. Huh. Miami now went from, you know, Mensa's there. Like, buying a quarterback is the new thing. Sam Levitt, that's just the thing now. We're going to buy a quarterback. Texas is going to be, the rarity is going to be the Texas where a guy lasts. And remember, it used to be, and it wasn't new, Baker Mayfield came from Texas Tech. Kyler Murray came from Texas A&M.
Right.
Jalen Hurts came from Alabama. Like, we've been seeing this. It just used to be, you know, red shirt. You had a red shirt transfer. You transferred.
Yeah, it's not any
different.
Huh? Yeah, you got to find that quarterback.
But
go
it
steal
is
him from
a
program.
Lot now.
Yeah, go steal him from a program. So we've talked about Mike Elko. The Aggies looked okay.
He'll be with us tomorrow.
They looked
at 8:00,
all right,
by the way.
They were fine. They weren't great in the first half, and the media asked Mike Elko about his halftime speech, and here's what he had to say.
Because that's what we owe it to them. Like, you know, what do you want us to do? Panic? Like, again, like, this speech, I'm sure, will come out at halftime, and everyone thinks this is this amazing speech at halftime. It's not. Like, we won that game 6 months ago with what we did in the winter. Like, we didn't win that game because I went in at halftime and said something. Like, we built a culture. We built a character. We built a commitment to doing things the way we want to do them back in January and February, and that's what came out in the second half. And it's not like, oh, I went in and I riled them up, and because I riled them up, they started playing. Like, that's not how this works. It just doesn't. And so, like, I have to be calm and collective. Like, it's my job is to be calm and collective when they're frantic. My job is to create intensity when they're not intense. My job is to always be opposite the moment. It's not to let the moment take me away. I'm the 48-year-old guy who's supposed to see this thing with clear eyes. They're the 18 to 21-year-old kids who get emotional. And so it's easy for me. It's easy for me to try to help them get through it as best I can. Now, again, I don't want to be in that situation. I'm not saying I do. But when you're in it, you got to try to figure your way out of it. And we were able to do that.
That's we've talked about this before with, like, Kelvin Sampson. When they play really poorly, you know, he's patting them on the back, and he's encouraging them. when they're playing really well, then he gets in their kitchen, you know, because you don't want them to get complacent or think too highly of themselves. That's what really good coaches do.
Yeah.
Really good coaches are that's a great way to put it. We're opposite the moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good way. It was, you know, sometimes the coaches, I thought Dana had an issue with this at University of Houston specifically, is, and I'm not picking at him individually, but it's just when you see the guys really lose it on the sideline, get so mad, it can, I think this goes with any emotional coach on the sideline. One of the things you have to remember is that is an energy that other players and other staff members, and I know from talking to my dad about this with different types of coaches, there's just certain coaches that if they kind of lose it a little bit during situations and you don't feel like when the adversity strikes that they're handling it, if they don't steady the ship, it has an impact across the program.
Yeah.
You have to be a guy who knows how to steady the ship. That's a lot of what he was talking about right there.
There was a video of, did you see the Brent Venables video of chewing guys out? Was really going after him hard.
Yeah.
And they were winning, and they were, but he looked like he was out of control. He was just out of control. And what the person who was filming it, you know, posted it and said, this is ridiculous, you know, maybe the pressure is getting to Brent Venables that OU has to win.
He's always been, though.
That has to, yeah, right.
It's kind of who he was as a coordinator. That's kind of how he is.
Yeah, he's maniacal on the sidelines. I don't know that that's great. Not sure that that's great. We'll see how OU is. We'll see. But, yeah, I love that quote. I love that soundbite from Mike Elko. That explains really good coaching right there. That's right, Raheel. Really good coaching right there. 713, so in the middle of that. He had to send us a text because he's a horn.
There's a lack of respect for Mike Elko specifically.
For Mike Elko. Yeah.
I mean.
Which is, and that man, I mean.
What?
There's no humanity in Raheel.
Well, we knew that.
Who goes after coaches if you're a human?
I mean, go after the players, not the coaches.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're the ones making millions of players.
Is Mike Elko going to be here tomorrow? Yes.
He
is
will.
He human? Yes.
Yes. You will show him more kindness than you'll show any player.
Coaches barely get paid anything. It's the players making all the money.
Yeah. The coaches aren't. The coaches and their salaries weren't the impetus
for
what's going on right now, right?
With contracts that aren't even guaranteed.
I mean,
we can't draw a
straight line from the coaches and all the money they made to what the players are now making, right?
No.
We can't draw a line between those
you
two
can
things.
Do that.
And the ruination of college football, that didn't start with the coaches and their salaries exploding, right?
Yeah. Well, look at this. Florida State leaving the game last night. Fire Norvell. Why not fire the players?
Yeah. Let Norvell have another year.
Yeah.
You know what?
Next year's the year.
The players he brought in are the problem. But he's not the problem.
We have not talked about the fact that they blew out their generator. Like, they screwed up. I don't know what happened with the electrical. Their M&J Electrical Supply needs to provide them their electrical stuff. Because I'm telling you right now, if you missed it, they couldn't do replays. They didn't have headphones to call in the plays.
Well, the game was, what, an hour and a half late?
It's like two hours.
At least, yeah.
2 hours late. I don't know if they ended up doing this because I couldn't see, but did they have it? Because it wasn't Terry McCauley. Whoever was on the call said what they were going to do now is because usually the players, the quarterback could look into the end zone and see the clock. Well, so now the back judge or whoever's deep, I don't know the name of all the officials, but he was going to have the time on his watch, and at 10 seconds he would raise his hand and he would slowly lower it down as it got close, you know, to five would be perpendicular with or would be parallel with the ground, and then it would continue to go down until it hit his side, and that was zero. Like, and he just said, this is going to be a mess. That was Florida. What an embarrassment for Florida State that happened on national television, and that's what you have to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently Danny Cannell, Florida State guy, was in Tallahassee for the game. He said his power went out in the morning, like, and his hotel, 1:30 to 7:30, they were without power.
That's Mike Norvell's fault.
Well, you got to blame someone. So apparently Tallahassee was having issues because in that case, someone lost control of their car and ran into something. Sounds like they were in Athens, not Tallahassee. But so maybe they were just having issues throughout because that happened way in the morning. And then at game time, they had another issue.
Oh, my God. Crosswalks in Ann Arbor. counting down to 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, then 1, then 0. Oh,
really?
Oh, my God. All right, we got a break. We got to talk about the Golden Nugget. Listen, DraftKings Sportsbook, what a place to be this weekend. How about this coming weekend? How about the not only college football with all the big games, and we're going to have bigger games than we had last week in college football, but we got the start of the NFL season, and the DraftKings Sportsbook is the best place to be to watch, to gamble, to have a big time. You're looking for the best way to enjoy football. I think if there's one place to go, and that's the DraftKings Sportsbook. It is awesome. Looking for a great way to play, looking for a great place to swim, enjoy the outdoors, the pool, golf, 12 restaurants, the beautiful hotel. What more could you possibly want? You've got everything in one place. Plus, they've got great concerts. Go check out goldennugget.com/Lake Charles and see all the great shows that are coming up. Maybe pick one of those weekends or just go for a football weekend. But make your reservation because you're not going to be able. There's a chance. There's not going to be tables available if you're going to go. You got to have a reservation if you want to ensure that you've got that table. But this is what 2 hours down the road. Are you kidding me? GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, our penultimate segment. I'm sure we missed something. I'm sure we missed. There has to be something that we missed, Al.
Well, other than mentioning a lack of electricity, we didn't talk about the Monday night game.
SMU Florida State?
Yeah, a game where SMU nearly outgained Florida State by 300 yards, I think. And because of the four turnovers you mentioned, you've got two of them in the red zone, I believe. You've got a missed field goal. That game came down to the wire because SMU was trying to give the game away. And Florida State lost. They should have lost. They were clearly the worst team. But we're still in it because of SMU's issues. But they get the win. So that's a nice win for Rhett Lashley in Tallahassee. So they had a minus four turnover advantage, twice as many penalties, SMU had fewer rushing yards because Florida State could get the ball going on the ground. Lower time possession, missed a field goal, and still won the game and outgamed them by nearly 300 yards. So it didn't make a lot of sense that game from the very jump, but the better team did win.
Yeah, SMU was about, oh my God, he's got problems. Norvell's done. I mean,
well, they're poor. Like, that's the only reason he's there now, because they don't really have the money to fire him and his staff, plus hire a new staff, which they would deem Florida State caliber. I don't know what the buyout is at the end of this year, but this is the only reason they're going to have to suffer through this year is because they simply didn't have the money to get rid of them, because they're one of the poor folk in college football right now. See what happens when you give a guy.
How much you hate that, though?
I don't mind it so much. You see what happens when you give a guy an extension based off of, you know, having Jordan Travis. That Mike Norvell at Florida State is a travesty without Jordan Travis. His records without him. They gave him big money because of a couple good years, and now they're paying for it.
Well, that's what happens in all. That's what happened with Jimbo Fisher. I mean, that's what happens in college football, left and right, because the extensions are not 2 and 3 years like they are in baseball or basketball. These are they extend 5 to 7 years fully guaranteed. I mean, if they would just say, hey, we're going to add a couple years onto your contract, that's more reasonable. Instead,
they gave him an 8-year extension.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane.
Because Alabama came sniffing around before they hired DeBoer.
It is absolutely insane that you give college coaches, you have so much history now, such a large sample size. When are they going to figure, when is college sports athletics going to realize you got to keep coaches on 5 years max? 5 years max. And if you want to extend, you can extend out to 5 years again to keep it at 5 years. But this idea, and even that's a little wild. Like, I would keep it no more than 3 to 4, realistically. And if you're worried about losing your coach, then, you know, I get it. But, my gosh, you just, at some point you have to say, this isn't worth the amount of money we're going to potentially spend if we miss with our coach. Because guess what? You could have a good coach, and if he doesn't know how to get players in, if they don't know how to recruit and or now, more importantly, manage money and use the portal appropriately. See, this is why NFL GMs and personnel people have all told me they think the best jobs are going to be in college as a GM. And the reason they say that is because there's an advantage, because if you know how to handle free agency and salary cap like NFL people do, you have a huge advantage, because college teams don't know how, like, this is still a real problem for them dealing with free agency on such a regular basis, because every year is a huge free agency. It's bigger than the NFL free agency. It's even bigger. There's a bigger pool of players. So evaluating, understanding how to manage your money, what percentage. I talked to a team a couple weeks ago that has figured out, over the last 3 years, they said they've really figured out how to manage their money per position. Like, quarterbacks get this much. We had too much in our running backs. We're now not giving our running backs as much as we had been previously, and we're focusing more on wide receivers than we used to. So they're doing percentage of their revenue share is now they're figuring out position.
Florida State got Texas's running back.
Yeah.
And didn't play it down.
Wisner didn't play.
Didn't play.
Played no snaps.
Yeah.
And Wisner's a good running back.
They gave him $600,000.
Well, they got Cromo, who's a better player, and then they played another guy ahead of him too. So Mike Norvell's buyout is $46 million.
Right now.
So if they fired him December 1st, he would be owed about 46.7, which would make it the third largest payout, only behind Jimbo and Brian Kelly. Now, Penn State were going to owe James Franklin 49, but he took another job, so it dropped to 9. And by the way, Dabo's more than Norvell's. I don't know if Clemson has the stomach for it, or maybe they'd rather deal with the consequences of paying the buyout and hiring a new staff than dealing with another couple years of Dabo. But I think his is in the $60 million range, or at least $50-plus million if they got rid of him before the year was over. So it's going to be tough. ACC already talking buyouts with a couple guys who are at least by tradition, premier programs.
Belichick, that's going to be an interesting buyout.
Yeah, he is.
He's only getting $2 million a year, right?
Yeah, I don't know. The buyout won't be crazy for him.
Did you guys see the Oklahoma State GM?
He was
Raj Multi.
Now, people are criticizing him because the players he brought in didn't
work. I'm applauding him.
But I get it. You're online just scrolling and you see, oh, look at that. That's a nice picture.
So apparently he's being scrutinized. After the loss, he was liking an Instagram model's swimsuit. She's an IG.
So here's the thing. You can like stuff on Twitter now and not get...
Nobody sees it.
Nobody sees it.
But if you like something and one of your mutuals or your followers sees it and they're on that person's page, they're going to see your like.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
Yes.
But how can you criticize when
Twitter,
you're liking
on Instagram,
too?
You don't have to like it. If you are following this person, you see one of their... You'll be able to see their likes if you happen to be on
IG.
That page. Yeah.
Yes. On Instagram, yeah. It will show up. On Twitter, you can't see it. On Instagram, you can't.
I don't know what Raj is up to other than staring at pretty women, but you ain't got to like stuff. You can just look at it. Hell, you can even save the post. You can save it to go back, and look at it later. But you're in at least enough of a public spot where you perhaps stop liking stuff because it'll be scrutinized. Now, if Messemaker had thrown for 4 touchdowns, they would just said Raj is a dog. We love Raj.
Right.
But because Messemaker put up 10 points against Tulsa, now Raj got problems because he liked the pretty blonde girl.
They were like a double-digit favorite against
them. Yeah, they had all those new North Texas players and new coach.
Ooh, so it turns out North Texas can't just beat. There's still too much Oklahoma State funk on them? Stink that they can't get off?
I don't know if that's the case. But they got their quarterback, running back, receiver, all from North Texas, and it did not matter against Tulsa, who beat Oklahoma State last year too. So,
well, that got their coach fired.
Yeah. Now, North Texas did beat Tulsa in 2024. So Morris did have some success against North Texas the last time he saw him, but not the case yesterday. Well, apparently
it was really hot at the South Carolina game. They won 57-0, and there were a bunch of guys in the stands with their shirts off.
Okay.
And there's a lot of females that are complaining that they can't take their shirts off. I can see this point. Should we have equal shirt off opportunities?
So there are women who would like to take their shirts off.
Yes. And the South they Carolina, don't get to. The guys get to.
Has that been
is
stated?
Is that discrimination? Yes.
Has that been stated by the South Carolina authorities? They can't take their shirts off? Or are they assuming?
Well, isn't it public indecency?
What if you wear a sports bra, what do you mean?
Well, no, they no. Want to be the guys don't have anything on.
Understood.
Topless.
So these women would want to take their shirts off, or
that's
they just
what they're. I'm going to bet. I agree that they should.
I'm going to bet they
you
don't
think
want
that they should be able to no. or not. Yes.
Should be able to what?
They want to take
off?
Their shirts off.
I'm going to bet.
I mean, it's going to cause a problem.
What problems?
Look, I'm going to bet.
Oh, discrimination again.
These women
you're
don't want
Hannah
to take
driving
their shirts off.
And now this?
They don't want to take, they don't want to take their shirts
against
off.
Hannah driving? I said Cal would be more likely to drive.
Oh, my gosh.
See, this is the women proving a point or making a point. They don't want to take their shirts off. They would just say, hey. Make sure these guys
oh,
keep
this
their
is like
on.
Innis Cantor Freedom?
Yeah, they don't actually want to take their shirts
they're
off.
They're making a point.
They're just saying, hey, guys, no. Why do these guys have their shirts off? No
that's
one wants
right.
to see that.
How
put
come they can
and
we can't?
They don't really
discrimination,
want to.
Discrimination, that's why.
They're playing a game. They don't want to.
Yeah, no, they want to.
They're just saying, look, treat everyone the same. Make them keep their shirts on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, they're right about that. Make those guys keep their shirts on.
We had nearly a huge upset. The USA women won by 3
against who? Italy or something?
Yeah, and they were bad. They were just Caitlin was bad, and they were all bad. Paige Beckers, all of them. They were just bad, and they
don't they have a season going on right now?
Are they in an
international break? Is
yeah.
that what we're doing?
Is that what we're doing?
Is the
no
transfer
one knows.
Window
it's impossible
up?
To know?
I don't know if there's a. I think they're back in action the 17th. So they're in an international break to play these international games.
That.
No, I can look at it right now. I see it right now. You should be locked in. You're our future team, who's terrible this year, they got a game on the 17th. The Connecticut Sun, who will be the Houston whatever.
Did
are
you
they
know
the
there
Comets?
Is...
We got a game coming up?
Well, our team, our future well, team's got really. A game coming up.
Next year?
No, if you want to watch the team that will be coming to Houston play, they're playing the 17th. Proof that there is an international break because you can look it up on like you said.
Wait a minute. They're playing here?
No.
Well, then who cares?
They're our team. Cares. You got to get ready.
Well,
get
not really because Brittany Griner's not coming.
Get
right?
familiar with the team coming up.
Yeah.
Is she on that team? Is she on the Connecticut
yeah,
Sun?
She's on the Connecticut Sun. What or is? Or
why isn't she coming?
Something.
Is
no
she
one
a free
knows.
Agent or something?
It's impossible to know.
You just gave us information.
Okay.
She's not on that team. Oh, she is on that team. She's coming along.
No, she's not.
Why not?
She's not coming along.
Why?
I don't know if she had a one-year deal or whatever.
Resign the Baylor great.
Yeah.
Get some name recognition for
pretty
us.
I'm sure she's not coming.
What?
I'm just saying.
Someone told you she's not coming?
A lot of people have told me. No, we were talking about her last time, and they said, don't worry, she's not coming.
She's 13-6 this year. We don't need that next year?
We don't need that.
I feel like we might need it.
Are you sure we don't need that?
Are we sure?
No.
13-6, huh?
I don't know why she's not coming. All
someone, but someone heard, who would know told she's you she's not coming.
She's not coming.
Huh. She's going to miss out on Papacitos.
But no one knows.
She's going to miss out on Papacitos.
Well,
man.
My Papacitos in Richmond is closing the 13th.
Yeah.
Next Sunday. So it's his last, going to be a last day. So, you know, there's talk about my owner for Everton, Dan Friedkin, the Friedkin Group. Yeah. That he's potentially already looking at selling and concentrating all his efforts on the NHL to
really?
Houston.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they'd be heartbroken if he sold. They don't like American
no,
owners over there.
No, after this yeah, right. transfer screw up by Everton, holy yep, crap, no. is there.
Yep.
It's not good.
You want, hey, listen, there's no screw ups when you're talking about Kent Jones. Ooh, his team almost screwed up, though, Oregon. I was going to call him and tell him. Hey, you could barely got by that one. He's a big Oregon guy, but he's from here. He's been here for 30 years. He's been since 1995. He's been here over 30 years closing mortgages for people. And the thing about this is I'm so pissed that I didn't know him when we bought a couple of houses here, was that we could have saved literally tens of thousands of dollars. The potential of what he can do for you is incredible. Don't try to do this yourself. There are all kinds of things involved here. The title companies and the real estate agents and the mortgage itself and when to lock in and the interest rate and all. There's so much involved that you don't know that he does know. When you're doing it for 30 years and you got 1,400 mortgages, you know. And you know what? You don't know. He knows. He knows. Dream Rate Mortgage has been around an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau, and it's just about you saving money, okay? This is what most brokers in other businesses, they don't save you money. They cost you money. In this business, the broker is the way to go because he knows all that. Well, this one does. Knows all the hacks. Are you going to get an FHA, a VA, a USDA, a jumbo, a conventional? Are you getting a niche loan? What? You don't know? He knows. So go to call 713-520-5626. Don't try to do this yourself. Save money with Kent Jones at Dream Rate Mortgage. Yeah, okay? Let's go. 713-520-5626 or 975loans.com.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Great today. News of the Weird right here. It's not a great one today, to tell you, if you want to know the truth. I'm just saying it. It's just not great. A Belgian man discovered that his wife of 19 years was born a man. Do you think that after 19 years... you should have, well, do you think that maybe you should have realized it a little bit earlier? I think this is on him.
Now, there may have been a surgery involved.
Yeah?
Yeah, so, you know, it may have been a little trickier for him to disseminate.
Her name was Monica. He met Monica when she arrived in Belgium from Indonesia. Yeah, there's okay. A chance. If you're coming from Indonesia. Yep.
I didn't know there was that... direct pipeline.
You don't know. Well, apparently you don't know about it then, do you? Yeah. Yeah. Well, this guy married her. Married this person.
Right.
And then found out used to be a guy.
Yep.
But if you're a girl now, is that... How is that? Was there really...
What you never asked, are you asking?
Did you ever ask me, was I a guy? No. So I'm not. Do I have to disclose?
So you're saying don't ask, don't tell?
Well,
who bears the responsibility? So anytime, well, you two are married, but any single man who starts to get serious about a woman, you think it goes well if he asks?
Were you ever a man?
You think that's going to go well for him?
It doesn't matter. Go well, not go well. You got to do just the facts.
So I should ask, or should the person I'm with give me that information?
Well, full disclosure. This way, if it ever comes up, oh, wait. And you really were a man? I asked you a long time ago, and you lied about it. One of the first things you have to ask a girl now.
So how quickly do you
ask
that question?
Were you ever a man?
How quickly do you ask?
I mean, hey,
first time?
What's your name?
First date?
Well, that makes the first date.
Were you ever a man?
So if I meet someone and I go, hey, we're both nerds. Let's go see Avengers Doomsday. Are you more Jean Grey? Or are you more Cyclops? Is that how I ask? Were you born a Cyclops or a Jean Grey?
You could be either one.
I don't even know what those
men and women. One's a man, one's a woman.
Okay.
If I want to take her to see a Marvel movie.
No, you have to ask directly. Hi, what's your name? Angela, were you ever a man?
Would I be able to discern by looking at her Adam's apple?
Apparently not, because in Indonesia, Adam's apples aren't telling the story.
Huh. I just don't think you can. That's a great way to start things off with someone you're interested in.
Well,
are you a man or a woman?
I just want to establish the ground rules.
I think we need to talk about personal accountability and responsibility. And if you are someone, and you're with someone who thinks you're a woman and you weren't born that, perhaps you tell them just and get it out of the way and see what happens.
No, you never ask. Don't ask. Don't tell.
Nah, that policy's out the door.
Nope,
by the way,
right? I mean,
I don't know. I wasn't expecting it to go in this direction today.
Right.
This is surprising to me that this one.
But this is a tough call.
This one landed.
A tough call for who?
It's a tough call for, you know, guys who don't ask. They don't ask. If you don't ask, then you, then it's not her fault.
That policy. By the way, didn't the military get away from that policy as well? The don't ask, don't tell. Isn't that out the door too?
No, I think the military pretty much is saying if you were ever a woman, you're not. If you're a guy and you're now a woman,
no, that's a different. No, that's about if you are gay. That was a different policy.
No, now I think transgenders are out too. But
the don't ask, don't tell thing was about. But the don't ask, don't tell was about being gay or not gay.
Oh, right. Not that's gay. That's a different story. Ask if you were a man or a woman.
No one's asking. Not on the first date. Come on. You can't expect someone to ask that question.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not out there, but if I was, first thing.
You'll stay out there.
Yeah, you'll never come home. You'll never be inside.
You'll stay out there.
Take words that however tell. You like, John.
Words tell.
I'm talking about you're out there.
Words.
Swinging whatever, because you're never going to get anywhere if you're asking that question.
Okay. That's it. We're done. 10:01 on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us. And we will talk to you again tomorrow, everybody. Go Astros against Philly.